B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Near point now, Pasternak. Shoots, deflected, and it sails behind the net. Zaitsev didn't get much on it. 9 seconds left. Far point now, Marchand. Not a lot of time. Pasternak with five. Walks in right in the net. Krejci fires. Pasternak shoots. Blocked. Rebound. Blocked again. And the horn sounds. The Toronto Maple Leafs.
Both of those blocks were by Marner out in the high slot. Tavares had no stick. Marner got down and blocked the first one. Came right back to Pasternak. Tried it again. And Marner got a piece of that one as well.
The Toronto Maple Leafs have taken the upper hand in this best of seven series. They win game three. 3-2.
All right, let's open with this. What are your thoughts, Maz, here inside of our Tom Kerr Tire Studios?
Okay, so look, I mean, I think everybody's generally on the same page in terms of who the Bruins need more from in this series. And so this is where I'll start. Like, you know, the image you have of a parent, old school now, bending a toddler over their knee and saying, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you, and then spanking the kid? Okay, well, that's how I feel right now, because what's up with Bergeron? I want to know, what's up with Patrice Bergeron?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you started, because most people started with Pasternak. I think Bergeron's had the biggest drop-off.
Bergeron's been, to me, probably, you know, he and Marchand, but Marchand's an easy target. Bergeron, I look at and say, okay, when a guy, we all love him for lots of reasons and obvious reasons. Last night, and I mean this as much in the defensive zone as in the offensive zone, he was bad. He was bad. Both power play goals. Like, you know, one of them, he's in the corner. Now, I think Marchand sort of peeled off because, again...
Well, I'm sorry to cut you off. He peeled off because he thought...
Bergeron was going to win the battle.
That Bergeron was going to win the puck battle like he always does and clear it up the glass.
So, you know, he kind of jumped the zone a little, but Bergeron lost the battle. The puck goes to Matthews. The hole that they passed that puck through, you could have driven a truck through. It was gigantic. So, like, I don't even give Matthews credit for the goal, for crying out loud. He made a good shot. But that was all about the setup, for crying out loud. What's Bergeron's problem? Like, so I look at it and I say, and when this type of thing happens in a series, when Toronto adds John Tavares and Bergeron goes from, you know, on a line that dominated the series to borderline invisible, how can I do anything but come to the conclusion that he is something short of a superstar? Like, and we all love him. But he always felt like that guy that was just a tick below, like a real superstar in the league. Because I don't know if I would ever call Bergeron a superstar. Maybe that has much to do with his demeanor as anything else. But a superstar in this series going against a guy like Tavares comes through, and he's not coming through right now, and that's a problem.
So we can debate what he is, you know. But in terms of starting with him in that line, I think that's an obvious place to start. An obvious place to start is more of a generic thing for me. That is hockey cliche, but I really think it was the case last night. They just got beat to pucks up and down the ice, and not all of it was just the pure speed advantage of Toronto. They got beat to pucks. All three goals they let up in the second period, they were in good shape defensively. It's not like this was a game the other night where there were odd man rushes or there were guys getting behind him or flying the zone or, you know, Toronto coming down on the rush. They were, you know, setups in the zone where you had possession. Krug on the first, mm-hmm. Bergeron on the second, and then the third wasn't quite clearly as defined, but you were in good shape with Carlo poking the puck into the corner. Everyone should be in position. You were in fine shape, all three of those goals. None of those should have happened. And you just lost a battle here or there. Your best players losing battles. The first power play that you gave up. First of all, the first goal is to the fourth line, and that's the one goal that really, really shouldn't have happened.
That one drove me crazy.
That first goal was a joke. That first goal was a bad goal all the way around. From Krug losing the puck battle to then losing the man in front of the net and then Rask with a lazy rebound on a nothing shot from the wall. That was a bad goal.
None of them moved.
Bad goal.
The only guy to react to the puck being loose was the guy who scored it.
But the two power play goals, those are your best players getting beat. You know, it was Chara and Carlo, your penalty killers out there with Marchand and Bergeron on the first one. Second one, Marchand and Bergeron out there with Carlo and Camphor, which I got a little bit of a beef with, or maybe that just shows you their lack of depth there on D. But for the most part, those are your best players getting beat. And so start with your best players. Start with your best player, Patrice Bergeron. I think that's fair. Murray, what are your thoughts?
I mean, that third period just overall was so frustrating. Their last power play, Bergeron, Pastrnak, any pass that came near them, they were so jittery and mishandled it. And the key, I think, overall, looking at these three games, has just been the overall physicality. The tougher team, the team that outhits the other, has won. And the Bruins, for whatever reason, I didn't think they were going to be able to keep up the pace that they did on Saturday night. But the fourth line was useless. They're out hit again last night like they were in game one. And if they're out hit, they're going to lose. That's been the key to this series so far.
See, I have less of an issue with Pastrnak. Because, and I,
oh, he was awful.
Okay, he was garbage.
But at least he was being targeted. And when they were going after Pastrnak. They made Pastrnak a point. And my point is, if a team wants to commit enough to stopping a guy, they're going to get him off his game. If they wanted, if they want to use that many resources and that much effort to get him off his game, they're going to get him off his game.
Did they use that much effort?
Well, they hit him a lot.
Okay, so
they hit him a lot.
No, I understand that. Except you're not being shut down here by Larry Robinson. They come up with the name from the other day. It's Jake Muzzin. This is what I said the other day. I mean, I think this has become a crucial part of the series is getting that first line unlocked. And how do you do it? Do you stick with it and just say you have to beat Jake Muzzin? Or do you throw up your hands and say, well, Jake Muzzin's beating us, so we now have to run him off the ice? I sort of go back and forth on that. Who are you getting shut down by?
Okay, so again, I hear you. I'm not telling you that it was the best game of Pastrnak's career. I'm telling you they made an effort to disrupt Pastrnak. What are the other two guys' excuses? And they're your two best players. What are their excuses? So again, Marchand's an easy target.
I hear you.
Okay, Marchand had one shot last night. It was about halfway through the first period when he made that great deke at center ice. Remember that he made that great shift?
Yep.
And he went in and got a wrister and Anderson turned it away. That was it. He didn't have another shot for the final 50 minutes of the game, basically. 50 minutes. A guy who can shoot the puck like him, no shots on goal. None. I mean, so I'm sorry. I'm starting there. I'm starting Bergeron and Marchand in that order.
Murray? And the other thing, too, is I'm kind of surprised at how well the Maple Leafs played overall last night. I thought the Kadri thing was going to end up hurting them mentally. And if anything, it might have actually charged them up.
A little tougher mentally than we gave them credit for, right?
And yeah, they are.
And the goalie. You said it yesterday, Maz. He's probably been overall the best player in the series through the first three games. And he really has.
He's playing well.
Yeah.
And they're better in front of their net than they used to be. They're like, again, in that third period, I'm not telling you it was airtight because the Bruins had a couple of shots in there. But the old Maple Leafs, blow that.
Oh, definitely.
They blow that. Either the goalie or their D, and they're just there's a lot more traffic in front of that net now than there used to be, let alone the blocked shots at the end of the game.
Yeah, Mitch Marner getting down there blocking two to end the game. Yeah, that's a skilled player there sacrificing. That Toronto team's grown up a little bit.
They have. There's no question they have.
Toughened up a little bit. So I think everyone's in agreement of that. Your best players are getting outplayed. Your best players are getting outplayed.
Like, I've been waiting for the puss factor to set in with this Toronto team, and it just hasn't happened.
It's not coming this year.
So from a coaching standpoint, what do you do? Cassie's making a bet, it sounds like. He's betting on that Bergeron line, keeping it together, that they're going to figure it out. Here's Cassie post-game, and you'll hear it at the end. He really hits on it. But here's Cassie in general on that Bergeron line not getting going.
If we feel that it's really an impediment of us having success, then we're going to get away from it or break up the line. We do it at times. We move pasta around. But at the end of the day, if that's a matchup that he wants, he's going to get it eventually. Even on the road, you can get it at certain points. So we tried to get away from it on some icings to see if it would work our way. But tonight wasn't able to go. So we'll see how it plays out Wednesday. But honestly, I don't mind it. I mean, it's two good lines going head-to-head every night. We're going to, it's going to tilt our way at some point. Our players are too good.
Okay, that last part. And he explains the whole thing that if Babcock is dead set on getting those D, Muzzin out there and the Tavares line out there against the Bergeron line, he'll get it. Even on the road, if you're committed to it enough, you'll get the matchup. So Cassidy says, I'm not going to worry about it. Eventually, it's going to tilt in our favor because our guys are that good. He's making a bet on the Bergeron line versus changing it up, which he would, if this were the regular season, he'd change it up. He changes it up like crazy. So he's not afraid to change it up. He's making a bet. He's wagering that Bergeron and those guys will get their act together and ultimately win that matchup versus trying to get him a different matchup. What do you think he should do?
I'd change.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'd change. I'll tell you. And the reason I'd change is because I think Bergeron and Marchand can make anybody better. And so, you know what? I would change at least to start and see what it looks like with Pasternak with Krejci.
I hate to say, and no one would have said this to start the series, that you're running from Jake Muzzin, you know, and all of you would have said the Bergeron line versus Tavares all day long. We'll take it all day long. But if they're dead set on sending Muzzin out and beating up Pasternak, give Pasternak to Krejci and see if Babcock will throw Muzzin out against Krejci, and now that frees up Bergeron and Marchand.
You got to make him choose. That's what I would do. You got to make him choose because the Bruins are infinitely easier to defend when Pasternak's with that group. And when I say infinitely easier,
well, it's just simpler.
It's one task. You shut that line down. And so it's hard, but if you can do it, you're going to beat the Bruins.
That's the whole point about one-line teams. It's really hard. It's really hard to win when you got one line. And even against, we didn't think Toronto was capable of stopping it. Turns out they may be. But then again, maybe it's just three games of a seven-game series, and Cassidy's right. The more minutes that the Bergeron line is out there together, the more likely they are to beat the Tavares line, the more likely they are to get past that pairing, the more likely Frederik Andersen is to ultimately show his colors, and they're just going to ride it out. It's a close call.
It's hard.
Yeah. I mean, it's to me, you can make the case that ultimately, the more, again, what I just said, the more Bergeron's out there together with Pasternak and Marchand, they're better players than Muzzin and Zaitsev. They're just better, and they're a more complete line than Tavares and Marner, and they'll just ultimately win out because they're better players, and that's what we're going to bet with. But that's the bet. He's betting on that. That's the way it sounds, unless he changes his mind overnight or changes his mind before tomorrow's game. It's a clear thing. Muzzin, specifically, is beating the crap out of David Pasternak. And that happened in game one, and I said it, and they changed it. They didn't really change it in game two, and not as much. Don't you love it when your father calls you at 2:13?
Yeah. No, aren't you free? It's commercial break.
Hey, when you said yesterday you wanted him to weigh in on that back issue, so he
won't. He's calling to him about his back. You have no idea what you're talking about, Phil. You're about Tiger's back. Someone who doesn't know that calls you at 2:13, I get. Rock, it's 2:13. Well, you think I can pick that up? What are you doing?
Maybe he's going to leave you a message.
Anyway, so I mean, to me, I find that part fascinating. You can easily chase. You can easily make Babcock's job harder. And do I throw out that pairing against Pasternak when he's with Krejci, or do I keep him on Bergeron and Tavares? Tavares has gotten the better Bergeron so far. Is it different with Pasternak down with Krejci? Does that become the line that you've got to contain? And that's the whole point of having two lines. It's like a hockey 101, but you're sort of facing it. You're seeing it right here. That's a decision facing Cassidy. It's a close call. So your thoughts on the game, your thoughts on the series, your thoughts on Cassidy's decisions and what's facing him here going into game four tomorrow night. Your calls right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Pullman brings it over the line. Got tripped up, gets back up, scrapes it left of the net, centered out in front. Krejci, backhand. Anderson dove out and made the save.
A big save. Aggressive save made by Anderson.
That was one of the bigger plays down the stretch. Krejci all alone, right side of the net. Frederik Andersen comes out, challenges. Little back check. Krejci can't lift the puck, but Andersen with that save, with the handle of his stick, maybe the signature play from last night's game. He's been good. Their goalie's been good.
He's the MVP of the series so far. He's the only guy on either team that's played well in all three games. I mean, if you ask me, and you could see it coming. I mean, in game one, all of a sudden it was like, ugh. Then it happened again in game two because that game could have completely gotten away from Toronto and somehow they hung around. And then this one last night, he was good again. He's been good in all three games.
Okay, meanwhile, I was surprised to read in your email, Maz, your thoughts on Tuukka Rask. What are they?
So, look, I don't think Tuukka was bad in this game, but that first goal I hated. I absolutely hated that goal. I mean, they're all just sitting there. He's sitting on the puck. Nobody's moving. Nothing. I mean, so, and honestly, I didn't love the third one either.
You didn't love the third one? What's he supposed to do there?
So, I don't know. It just didn't feel like it should have been that easy.
It wasn't that easy. The guy went forehand, backhand, inside of the... I mean, it was nasty.
He did. He made a great shot. He did. And I don't know. Still something about it bugged me, but the first one was way worse.
First one, no question. First one, no question, from soup to nuts. In fact, Murray, there's a Cassidy cut on the first goal. Hardy played it. I don't know if you have it or Jimmy has it. Can I just hear it again? Because I heard Hardy play it on the way in. And he's so right. That first goal, that can't happen.
I heard him say it last night.
Okay, yeah. So it's their fourth line against your fourth line, which has been a good line for you. And first of all, Krug has got the puck. Plenty of room, plenty of time to get the thing out. He doesn't get it out. He gets his pocket picked. But still, it goes from one side of the boards to the other. It's on the perimeter. Then Krug doesn't cover the guy in front of the net. There's some nothing shot from the boards that Rask just lets sit there. And Krug lets the guy pound it in. I mean, Cassidy nailed it. Go ahead.
The first goal, I think, is one that kind of stopped playing. You know, their fourth line, real good shift for them. They were hard on the puck, and, you know, we didn't get it out when we get a chance. And then we, I don't know if we stopped playing, but we, you know, we allowed them to stand in front of the net. Didn't clear out, and then I don't know if Tuukka lost it. But, you know, that's a goal that, if you look at a one-goal game, could have been the difference in the game, too. So, at the end of the day, I thought it was a pretty evenly played game. And they were one play better than us, whether it's a save or finishing. And that's playoff hockey a lot of nights.
Okay, so Cassidy is just, he loves throwing in, whether it's a save, could have used one. He was sure to, you know, put Rask on the list of guys that blew it on that first goal, and he was. Rask deserves a share of that first goal. But otherwise, I thought he was pretty good.
No, and he was really good in the third period for the most part. I thought there were a couple of plays there in particular where they could have gotten another goal, and he made big stops. I'm not telling you Rask was like a huge issue left. That first goal can't happen. I'm sorry, Mike. Can't happen.
But on any of them.
Yeah, so and Krug's right there, too. He was, you know, I don't know, maybe he's a little loopy or something.
Gives up the puck, then doesn't cover the guy in front of the net.
I mean, because really, and I don't know why Cassidy felt like he pulled punches a little bit. They did stop playing. They did. Like, there's no gray area. They stopped. Tuukka stopped. Krug stopped. The Leafs didn't. They knocked the puck in.
You're less than impressed with Rask.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been, again, you know, I know you said this the other day, and I think it's generally correct.
Not the story.
I don't think he's costing them the series. I don't think he's winning it for him either. So the right team's ahead 2-1. Their goalie's played better than he has. Can we agree on that?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I also think that he's not necessarily the difference either. In other words, Toronto was the better team in games 1 and 3. They just were.
Yeah, the goalie was a factor last night. He was a factor.
I mean,
last night.
The gap last night wasn't like game one, but Toronto was a better team. They got to more pucks. They created more.
I mean, it's just
a more dangerous team.
But I can see what Cassidy's getting at. It doesn't take much.
Yeah.
Right? You got two. The Bruins and Leafs now, we did this at the beginning in the series. They have played 18 games in the last 2 years. It's 9-9, and it's 5-5 in the playoffs. It's a dead heat. Okay, so one little lapse where the goalie and the defenseman stop playing for a second. And you lose 3-2, right? So that's all it takes. When you're talking, we're talking micro distances here between winning and losing the series.
Okay, to your calls, as promised. Tim in Marblehead, lead us off today, Tim.
Yeah, hey, guys, two quick points on the Bruins forwards. One, the Canadian media was killing Babcock about the matchups in games 1 and 2. Well, he got his matchups. He went Tavares, Radon, Bergeron in lines 1 through 4. For them, were better than 1 through 4 for Boston. And two, don't you feel like Bruins weathered the storm early, but they might have blown their load considering the way they played in game 2, that heavy style?
I mean, they can't. It's hard to match that. Everyone said that. You know, you can't play that way every night, even in the playoffs. So they can't get to there every night. I don't expect that. But it does feel like, I mean, to Murray's point, a little bit of a roller coaster. Flat game 1, way up game 2, sort of back down to earth game 3. Now they're going to throw the kitchen sink at him game 4. Then what do we get game 5? It's a little bit too much of that up and down thing. And I don't expect him to maintain game 2, but you got to be closer to it than you were last night. The lines, now I think Babcock's been throwing Tavares out there against Bergeron since game 1 puck drop opening night.
Feels that way.
It's been Muzzin and Zaitsev with the Tavares line against Bergeron and Pastrnak the entire time. And Tavares sort of shrank in the moment in game 2, but other than that, that line has won. That matchup has won.
I mean, you can see how Toronto looked at this whole thing. They said, we got Boston in the division. They beat us in 7 last year, and their first line got 30 points. If we can play that line to a draw, we win the series.
Exactly. And they're actually beating it.
Correct. So, like, that was the whole thing for Tavares. That was the whole reason. We got to neutralize Bergeron, and we got to be able, if we can just a wash there, just a draw is enough, because we think the rest of our team's better than theirs, and they might be right.
617-779-0985. Couple open lines if you want to grab them. Here, Brian in Bellingham. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So my take on Rask is, like you guys said, he's not losing you the series, but he's also not winning you the series. So in my opinion, he's just not good enough in the playoffs to take you to a cup finals in this environment. So I would rather see Halak in game four, see what if he steals you a game, and then you're back on home ice. What do you guys think?
I just don't think – I think that's – I wouldn't do it.
And me neither.
You know,
I'm
not a huge believer in Rask, you know, for this exact reason. What you're seeing playing out is exactly what I've said about the guy for a long time. He's good, and he's fine. And if your team's fine, he's fine. And if your team's outplaying the opponent, he can go to the cup and win a cup. It's the nights that you're getting outplayed that he needs to carry you that I think he's always sort of been deficient in. And three games in, it's the same thing. But I don't want to spend too much time on that, because it's not like the goalie's costing you anything. You know, and I thought he was good last night on balance. I thought he made that one mistake on the first goal that they all did. But I think saying that starting with the goalie, I think that's sort of missing the mark. I think the first thing to do is to, you know, Cassie's making a call. He's going to stick with that line versus the matchup that Babcock's throwing out there, because he thinks the first line ultimately is just going to, they're better, and it's ultimately going to tilt in their direction. And instead of trying to get Pastrnak away from Muzzin or switch it up, and that's going to be a tactical thing, I'd switch it up. I've said that from day one, that I want Pastrnak with Krejci. So I'm consistent on that. But we're going to look back on that and say that he was right to stick with that line, or he blew it. He lost his nerve, and he didn't want to shake things up right when he needed it. And it's going to be a clear second guess one way or the other. He's going to be right or wrong.
I mean, to me, you know,
which I love, which is a nice clear-cut thing for talk radio.
I would make Toronto choose. I would. I'd make them choose. I'd put Pastrnak with Krejci, and okay, now pick. Which one are you going to really commit to, because we think the other one can score? And as it relates to Rask, well, you tell me, who's underperformed more, Matt Rask or the first line?
The first line.
Easily.
Not even close.
Easily.
Rask has been fine. He's what he is.
He'd be. Yeah. Right? Yeah, but he's been a B in the series, I would say.
I think he's been, it was a A minus, B plus
okay,
last night.
And so that's okay. If you want to go higher, that's fine. I know the first line hasn't been a B.
Absolutely.
In fact, they've been a problem.
Scott and Weymouth, what do you got, Scotty?
Let me get you off speaker. What's up, guys? All right, hey, I got bad news. I'm sorry, but I'm going to call it as I see it, like a good baseball umpire. This Bruins team is in trouble. This series is over, in my opinion, in five games, and here's why. Toronto's faster speed kills Felger. And here's my major problem with the Bruins. This team has no fire. Has there been a fight in this series yet? No joke.
But Scott, so what, you're ignoring game two?
They just... Felger, call me whatever you want to call me. I've been playing and watching the game since I was 3 feet tall.
Scotty Bowman on line one. I love. How come these Bruins fans got to say, I play the game?
Yeah, Scott Hartnell.
No one cares that you play men's league. No one cares. It doesn't qualify you. Please stop saying it, Bruins fans. It's annoying. It's dumb. It's silly. Unless you're Scott LaChance, I don't know why I pulled up that name, but unless you actually played, you know, Scotty Bowman, you can say you played. Scott and Weymouth, you don't get to say it. Good God, it doesn't count.
Yeah, wait, the fight. I love the whole fight thing. So, like, somehow, you know, look, the bottom line
is... To say this team has no fight is dumb, because the team had fight all year. They fought just the other night. They've shown it. Now, have they shown it consistently this series? Fair enough. They definitely weren't there game one, and last night wasn't... They weren't... The pitch wasn't quite there, okay? But to say they have no fight is just, that's an overstatement, and it's not accurate.
You didn't watch game two then.
Right, exactly.
And it's not about the speed. Again, it's the hits. Look at the hits in the three games. The team that's out-hit the other has won the game. Plain and simple. It's the physicality.
We continue with your thoughts after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Riley into the slot with a shot, and I don't think Rask saw that until he heard it. Now a chance in front of the net, a shot! Scores! Austin Matthews! Holy mackerel!
Again, that's what it sounds like in Toronto. That guy, Austin Matthews, goal and assist. Can get him going. Guy is really not willing to engage.
Right. So that to me was like a real bad sign that kid scored, where he's just been a nothing in these two series thus far. That was where it was like, ugh, oh, this is different. Oh, I don't like this.
So let's see where that goes. You also report in your update, Murray, that Johansson's inching his way back?
Yeah, so he flew in. He practiced with them today. He's going to be a game-time decision after tomorrow's morning skate, but he was in for David Backes on the third line.
Okay, not a small deal there. They need him.
No, they do need him. Absolutely they need him.
And if that balance, you know, the Coyle line's been going fine. Coyle and Heinen have been fine. They really have been. Did Backes already serve his purpose, giving him that jolt in game two, and now he's already out again?
Yep.
He played 9 minutes. I mean, you know, as you mentioned, you barely noticed the guy.
No. I don't blame him, because we know what he is at this stage. So you're going to have to pick your spots with him. When you need that emotional boost, you put him in. But, you know, the game's up there, too, for some reason. Like, I feel, you know, just because of home ice for Toronto, and I just feel the games up there are going to be faster. And so, you know, maybe the Bruins are going to be a little more timid, and so speed becomes even a bigger factor. Like, I don't know what. But to me, I have reservations about playing him up there.
Well, Johansson, an important guy. They just need more balance, whether they're throwing Pastrnak down a line or someone's drawing into the lineup who can give Krejci a little more support. I think Krejci's been good in general. I think Krejci's been good this series. And I just think Kuhlman is Kuhlman, maybe not quite ready. And they just need, you're seeing the same thing that happened against Tampa right now is happening against Toronto. You've got one line, or you're relying too much on the one line, and the opponent has an answer. So what are you going to do about it? Back to your phones, as promised. Chris in Chicago. Go ahead, Chris.
Guys, does Don Sweeney have naked pictures of you guys? Because I just don't understand why you let him off the hook. Why do you think the Blue Jackets are doing what they're doing? Any ideas? Just throwing it out there. Any ideas why they're doing what they're doing?
So you think it's all about Duchesne and DeZingel?
Are you kidding me? They took two of the three best players on Ottawa. Now it's their third line. And what did the Bruins do? You guys are making all these excuses. It's the same team that shouldn't have beat Toronto last year. They brought back again this year. Why do you guys give him a hall pass? I know it's the home of the Bruins, but come on.
Let me ask you, Chris, where did you call us during the season saying the Bruins are in trouble because the roster isn't good enough? I don't remember hearing that call from you.
They're not good enough, Michael. You know that.
Well, no.
They're
but
not good enough.
No, well, no, I'm just asking why you didn't call me 2 weeks ago and say that.
Oh, my God.
No.
You got
to
be.
No, I mean, that's what I would say to you. Oh, my God. You know, the time to call it, genius, is to say, yeah, they have the second-best record in hockey, but they're not that good, and you'll see in the playoffs. But I didn't seem to get that call from you. Instead, all the calls I got were, oh, wait till you see the Bruins again. Look, they're poised for a cup run. That's all I hear. So if you're interested in blame the GM at the end of the year when they're second or third in the league in points, and you can then tell me that they're overrated. You'd be right. You'd look like a genius. Sort of easy to do when they're down 2-1 to turn around and blame the personnel. They've been one of the best regular season teams in hockey for the last 2+ years since Cassidy took over. So complain about the GM then, not now.
Well, and the other thing is, so what about Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak?
Is that Sweeney's fault?
Like, so he was supposed to upgrade those players?
And most of you would have said Bergeron line versus Tavares line, you'll take it all day long.
And I was one of those people.
You wouldn't mention the GM there. You'd say Bergeron's better, and that line's better. And who the hell is Jake Muzzin? He kind of sucks. And you'd say the Bruins will clean up that matchup. Now that they're losing that matchup, it's the GM's fault?
In fact, Charlie Coyle's had a good series.
He's been fine. Johansson, I'm willing to blame him for, if he can't get in the lineup and he can't produce. Johansson, someone that has a hard time staying healthy for a myriad of reasons.
So I'm happy to hear that he was on the ice today. I was starting to have my doubts. When I read illness, I thought, you know, he had a concussion at the end of the year, right?
Yeah, well,
like,
yeah.
I started to look at that and say,
oh, no, it was a punctured lung or something.
Yeah.
It was
Oh, right, right. Yeah, the concussion before he, that was Marshan last year.
Correct.
But with a guy who's got a concussion history, I started to wonder, here we go. Like, is it really an illness? The fact that he's on the ice, so I'm happy to hear.
Mike in Medford, your thoughts.
Hey, how you doing? First of all, I told you about Tampa Bay, they're soft. And
here's another I told you so. We got all those calls at the end of the year about how soft and sucky Tampa is.
There wasn't anybody who picked Columbus to be up 3-0.
I can't believe we were doing I told you so on Tampa. You had him getting swept in the first round, Mike? You had him getting first round, and I didn't hang up on you. I just put you on hold for a second. You had him getting swept, I told you? What is this?
That was just, they called me on it. I got
to
run.
What does this need to go? No. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, so listen, the Bruins have had a hard time here in the three games overall. Game two obviously went their way. But the thing is tilted the other way, and now they all have their panties in a bunch because they need someone to blame, which is okay. I get that. I'm just telling you.
Blame us.
How about blame the first line? That's okay. I can take that. I can live with that part of it. Why is everyone so reluctant to get on Bergeron? Can I ask that? Why is everyone so reluctant?
He's getting outplayed. And that line's getting outplayed. Babcock is betting on Tavares and the Muzzin pair beating your first line, neutralizing your first line, and he's doing it. Okay, so Cassidy, again, is making this bet. Going to stick with it, and ultimately, as Cassidy said, I played the sound earlier, it's just going to tilt in our direction because our guys are really good. That's one way to play it. The other way to play it is to mix it up and make it harder on Babcock, and he's choosing a clear direction at this point. And we'll see if that works.
So let me ask you a question. Let's say that the first lines play to a draw.
Yeah, it's you lose.
See, that's what I think, too.
I mean, as long as you're constructed this way.
Correct. Like, if Pasternak moves and all of a sudden the Krejci line becomes this force with Pasternak on it, then that changes everything.
If you're going to put all your eggs in one basket and that basket gets smothered, then,
then they'll lose.
Yeah.
If it's those three guys and it's a draw, right? Because I think that's what Toronto wants. I think Babcock looks at Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak and says, ooh, those guys are good. You know what? If we play them to a draw, though, we'll win because our next three lines are better. And I think they're right.
We've got Jimmy in Walpole. Hi, Jimmy.
How's it going? You know, I want to talk about the physicality from game two to game three. It just wasn't there. You know, the only hit I really saw was McAvoy putting the offensive guy in his own goalie like he did during the season. Where was it in game three?
I don't know. It came back to earth. It wasn't as bad as game one, but a little bit too much of a flatten game one, respond game two, flatten game three. They're going to respond game four. I mean, I wasn't expecting that. I thought this team knew how to play.
Yeah, to me, it was surprising.
And how they had to play.
It wasn't surprising they were something closer to it. You know, you can't play the way they did in game two and play that way in the whole postseason. You won't make it past eight games. Like, forget it. You can't do it that way, but they got to do better than they did last night.
We continue with your thoughts. Have not weighed in. It happened after we got off the air, of course, but the Kadri suspension, how did you feel about it? Are you outraged? Are you outraged? It could only be a three-game suspension. We'll hit on this right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Saturday night in Boston, Maple Leafs forward Nazem Kadri was assessed a major penalty and game misconduct for cross-checking Bruins forward Jake DeBrusk. As Marlowe releases the puck, DeBrusk comes up alongside him and delivers a hard, legal hit into the glass. Kadri sees the check occur and immediately skates over to DeBrusk. He raises his stick with both hands and delivers a hard, forceful blow directly to the head of DeBrusk. This is cross-checking. This is not a hockey play. Instead, this is a player retaliating against an opponent by using his stick as a weapon to make forceful and direct head contact. Players are simply not permitted to flagrantly violate league playing rules because they feel the retribution is justified. It is also important to note that Kadri has an extensive disciplinary track record that must be considered when issuing supplemental discipline. Kadri has been suspended four times and fined once in his 561-game NHL career. The Department of Player Safety has suspended Nazem Kadri for the remainder of the first round.
All right, best sound effects in the business. Department of Player Safety. Kadri suspended not necessarily three games, four games, five games. Well, suspended 3 to 5 games, depending on the length of this series. Thoughts on the suspension?
They get it right. They got it right. I'm okay with that. I mean, to me, it's really about the Bruins series than it is about anything else. He should not have been able to play again in this series, and he's out. Now, if the Bruins can't extend it to seven, that's their fault. That's the way I look at it. So Kadri got what was coming to him. I thought 10 was too much. From the second those guys said it on the NBC postgame, you know, both of them, Eddie Olczyk and Keith Jones, I thought 10's a whopper. Like, that's a lot of games. No, 10's too much. I thought 5, and essentially 5 is the max.
Yeah, this porridge was just right. Not too hot, not too cold. They got it just right. And like Maz just said, if the Bruins can't now take advantage of this and win this series, well, that's on them.
Right. That, to me, is the most surprising thing. It didn't have an impact on Toronto. They still had enough grit in their game and effort in their game, and Kadri's, you know, sort of fills that role for them. I think sort of a central guy when it comes to that.
Another difference from last year, by the way, right? They lost him last year and they fell behind in the series. Now they're rallying around it.
That's right. So maybe, again, that Toronto team's, they've all grown up a little bit on us.
I mean, there's a lot of ability there. They get a lot of players, but at least forwards.
But it's the fortitude that's a little different.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess what I'm saying is that if they ever play to their talent, and a lot of that is the result of, you know, mental toughness, focus, grit, all of that, they could be a handle for a lot of teams.
Bruins fans wanted more, Murray? Are Bruins fans crying about this?
Not that I can tell. Good. I don't want to build a straw man. I haven't really seen that much on social media. No,
build it.
Yeah. No. Believe me, I would if I could, but I haven't seen it.
Restore my faith in Bruins fans that we're not going to turn to a bunch of crybabies and Montreal fans and call 911 and ask for the guy to, you know, lose half a season for a high cross check. Bad hit, deserved to be suspended. He is.
Yeah, you don't deal with the pest for the rest of the series, no matter how long it goes. I mean, what else do you want? Again, if the Bruins end up losing this thing, it's a massive disappointment, and he gets to play in another series, like, oh, well, that's on you for not winning this series.
I mean, if he hit him harder and really hurt him, then I think we're looking at a different thing.
Yeah.
He didn't hurt him.
No, DeBrus was in the next game, and again, he's not going to play in the rest of the series. So
what more do you want?
Yeah, you have nothing to stand on, I think, if you're a Bruins fan.
Okay,
nothing.
So there's the Kadri thing. Here's Vinny and Revere. What do you got, Vin?
Hey, guys. First of all, I play knee hockey in the basement with my cousin, so that's my credentials. Real quick, I think the suspension is justified. Like you guys just said, you know, you're in the he's out the rest of the series. I'm kind of changing my mind. I was in the beginning really disappointed if the Bruins lost the series. I think that we're underestimating them just a little bit. But I really feel if the Bees come out in this next game in Toronto and win, I think game 5 is going to be the real big one when they come home. Just wanted your opinion on that. If they go back into Boston tied 2-2, where do you think the series goes?
Well, I'd say advantage Bruins. That's momentum coming back here. And if you can draw off the crowd again and the final change and whatnot. But again, the final change, Cassidy's not even really using it yet. He's not even really trying to tinker with those matchups. So I'd like to see him start to do that a little bit. But of course, if they come back, a little wind at their sails, you sort of like it. They just have to establish it game to game. It's been, again, two up and down the first three.
So one of the things I don't like, let's say they come back here 2-2 for game 5. Toronto's been a step ahead of you the whole series so far. They won game 1, they won game 3. You've been chasing. So I just think it's a hard way to win a series when you're chasing all the time. So ideally, you want to be the one being chased. You want to be so these games that could tilt the series one way or another, Toronto's won them both.
Jamie in the car. What do you got for me, Jamie?
Hey, boys. I'm holding my phone like a pizza. How I sound?
Good.
Good. So a couple things. The Kadri thing. I was at the game Saturday night. Awesome game. I was ready to risk it all, hop on the ice, and pound Kadri's head in front of my 11-year-old, but I didn't. So it's disappointing he's done for the series because it's like a little payback, but that's in the regular season. Now, onto the lines. Belger, I was watching you last night when Johansson came up. I love your reaction, the hands. I'm like, where the hell has this guy been? So he's done pooping his pants now. And where are we going to put him, on the third line?
So Johansson, I give him to Krejci. I give Johansson.
That's what I'm thinking. Exactly.
But you mean assuming Pasternak stays with Bergeron?
Yes. What I really want is Pasternak down with Krejci. I'd play Johansson with Bergeron and Marchand. But I want Johansson in your top six. You know, you made a trade for him. You gave something up for him. He's played with really good players in the pay play with Ovechkin and Backstrom and that group and Washington. He played playoff games with those guys. So he's used to the level of play, both on his line and in the playoffs. I have real question about his durability. I mean, God, I wonder if he's just soft or fragile or something. So I don't know how long he lasts, but I put him up there. Carson Kuhlman, undrafted college kid who just came into the league. You know, there's a shelf life there, and maybe they've reached it with him.
I like the idea of Johansson with that first line, because Heinen and Coyle, that line seems to be working okay right now.
Correct.
So maybe you don't mess with that.
Stephen Weymouth, what are your thoughts so far in the series?
Yeah, Maz, I got to tell you, I'm putting the blame on the coach. He's not wheeling these guys over the boards to fight. When I was playing peewee hockey.
Yeah, he's going to stop you. It is annoying, though. That, you know, I play hockey, so I know. No, you don't. You don't play hockey. Your C-grade league, men's league, doesn't count. It doesn't. You don't play hockey. You played Bantams, doesn't count.
Okay. And the knee hockey doesn't count.
No, 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 I bet that was, you know, purposely. But the amount of called Bruins calls. You know, I play. Oh, do you, sir? Really?
Okay. Yeah, I've been on skates since I was four.
Could you please? Here's four. Jim and Beverly. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Mike. So, Mike, this, you brought in another goalie to rest. So Rask could be rested up and ready to go. You gave him three games. He's been okay. I'm not putting it on him. But he's not great. He's not ready. He gives up the soft one like he always does last night. Two breakaways. He can only stop one. You got to give Halak the next game. You got to give it to him. See what he does. See if it sparks him.
Okay, so I'm a little torn on that, Jim, in that I think Halak has a better chance of getting hot, quote-unquote getting hot. Tuukka's not a get-hot guy. He's a positional, system, steady, consistent goalie. That's his strength. Right, which is why he's been, when you balance it out over the last 7 years, he has been one of the better goalies in the league over 7 years, over the long balance, the big sample, because he's a pretty consistent, steady guy. He's not a get-hot, stand-on-his-head guy. I've said that for years. I still believe that. Okay. And I think Halak is more of that kind of guy. He's also not as good. Halak's not as good. And goaltending hasn't been the issue. When your team's gotten outplayed in two of the three games, you deserve to lose two of the three games.
I stick with Rask. I mean, again, because I don't think Rask's play has been so concerning that it's worthy of a change or warrants a change. I was just looking it up. His save percentage is .928.
It's been fine. He's been good.
I mean, that's better than average.
He's been good. Anderson's been better. Anderson's played really well. But it didn't. I mean, Anderson was great on Saturday. It didn't prevent them from losing. And I don't know what, you know, Anderson didn't have to be great in game one. I mean, I just don't know how much goaltending's been a factor in this series. I think the better team has won all three games.
I'm starting to feel some frustration building with the Bruins, though. I think Anderson's becoming a factor now.
Howie and Holyoke. Go ahead, Howie.
Yeah, let me tell you, Felger, watching their games last night, as long as the Bruins can put anybody they want on the ice until they start crashing the net, until guys like Krejci stop turning the puck over in the offensive zone, they're going to get beat. They're going to get their ass handed to them. They got to play like Don Cherry used to say, lunchbox hockey. I hope they can turn it around and do so.
Okay,
let
little
hear
bit,
your comment.
Fine, yeah, a little more. Just put it on net and crash the net. Fine, I agree with that. When you're talking about turning it over in the offensive zone, I wouldn't start with Krejci. I'd start with Bergeron and Marchand. How many offensive zone faceoffs did that group get? And Cassidy did, and he mentioned in his comment, and he's right, there would be a few icings, and so there'd be a certain line stuck out there for Toronto, and he'd throw the Bergeron line out for an offensive zone faceoff. I think they got something like 7 or 8 offensive zone starts last night, which is a lot. And I feel like, you know, Bergeron wasn't great on the dot. I think he was 12.
He was under 5. He was 48%.
I think he was 12 and 13. I think he had 12 wins, 13 losses. But there were several instances last night where they got offensive zone starts. They won the faceoff, and then Marchand gives it away. McAvoy gives it away along the wall with control of the puck. And there was one. Do you remember Pasternak's in the left faceoff circle, and he's all alone, and he's shooting the puck, and it goes off the toe of his blade for a turnover going the other way? And there was no one within 5 feet of the guy. He just completely whiffed on the shot, and it's going the other way. Those guys, the Bergeron line, is not handling the puck. Krejci's handling the puck. It's just he doesn't have anything to give it to half the time.
Yeah, no, and Pasternak goes through spurts like that too, right? But, like, to me, I don't think there's any gray area. The onus has to be on that first group. Like, where's the gray area? I'm not telling you they've been perfect in all other areas. I didn't love Krug's game last night. I wonder whether he's loopy. Like, after that hit he took, who the hell knows? But that first line, what's their excuse? There's no excuse there.
We're getting outplayed. We continue with your Bruins thoughts. We're going to mix in some other stuff over the balance of the program, including a roster move today from the Red Sox. Have they created their scapegoat?
Don't get me going.
Have they created their scapegoat? This is a topic that, in terms of going up our mail chute, number one is I play hockey, so I know. That's gone to number one on my hit list. you and your D-League men's league on Tuesday night. That's number one. Number two is the Red Sox pitching problem is the issue of the catcher. That's number two up our mail chute. And the Red Sox actually addressed it today. So we'll get to that news with your calls on all this. Refter Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.